So welcome to the instruction period. Today we continue with the fourth couplet in the section on mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of the feeling tone of experience. So our practice is one of being rather steady with the feeling tone, whether the feeling tone is pleasant, unpleasant, or in between. Every thought has very quickly a feeling tone connected to it. For example, if I say chocolate, what's the feeling tone? Pleasant for some, unpleasant for others. Something like chocolate is fairly easy to remain steady with. Some people may not agree, but when we approach something that has more complex associations, then our responses can be more mixed. For example, if I said the word father, what comes to mind? Anybody? Pleasant or unpleasant feeling tone? Yes? Pleasant. Both? Yes. First one, then the other. So we are complex human beings, and remaining steady with the feeling tone of experience. Remaining steady with each contact through the sense doors is really quite a practice. So the fourth instruction is this. It's, I shall breathe in, calming the mental formation. I shall breathe out, calming the mental formation. In other words, we're being rather steady with the feeling tone of each thought that arises. This is our practice right now. This is the particular instruction, as I understand it, in the section on Vedana. So the instruction is breathing in, calming the mental formation. Breathing out, calming the mental formation. Did anybody have a direct experience of calm in relationship to a thought? Yes. 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 Beautiful. So so you rather quickly saw the whole process of thinking, the pleasant or unpleasant feeling tone, and how we then draw conclusions, and the feelings start to rush through the body, and then you had that moment of, just be steady, just be aware, just pause, doesn't really matter, I'll do it step by step. So the thoughts often rush to a kind of anxiety or a stress unnecessarily. So well done. You saw the process of the mind that constructs. So what happens is we have the contact through the sense doors. In this case, it was hearing my voice and the announcement. Then dependent upon that was the feeling tone of agitation. And then from that, of course, there was the desire. Oh, I want to be in a certain teacher's group, and perhaps, and I don't want this one, or I wonder which teacher, and I wonder where and what time and what room, and the thoughts rush on. And this is how the process of mind works. So there's contact, there's the feeling tone. Based on that arises desire. Based on the desire comes the clinging, and then based on that is becoming. You want to become a certain way, you want to do a certain thing. And this process is an unfolding, impersonal process, actually. But we attach the self to it, we attach the I to it. And as soon as we begin to really understand this process, there's a loosening up that occurs. And if we can be steady with the feeling tone of experience, it's gold. It's extraordinary. Because we catch ourselves with the thoughts that roll on, and we don't then need to fuel our emotions based on the thoughts, the mental formations, the ideas. We can actually calm the thought process. We just pause, we stop, we're steady. We don't need to be compelled in any particular direction. Because as soon as the mind is compelled by the desire to want, to have, to do, to not do, we're caught. We're caught up. And there's no freedom. So seeing and understanding this process, in our meditation practice, we get to see it in minute detail. It moves rather quickly in life, but more and more we learn to be steady with the thought world. And we don't go into dramatic and catastrophic thinking. We don't add to the actuality of the situation our projections, our fears, our ideas, based on our particular tendencies. Thank you. Anyone else? Did you? Yes. Oh. Yes. 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 Okay, so in case you didn't hear Deb at the back, she said that she fell asleep and woke up right at 9:30, realizing she should be here. So came immediately, and the practice of calming calmed the feeling tone. Yes? Calm the thought world. Lovely. Simple. Just with the breath, we can calm the disturbed feelings and thoughts that run through the body. And the fact that we can do that is extraordinary. The fact that we can see what the mind is doing, we can see how we're adding a layer of mental anguish to the situation, and then steady the mind, that's really good news. It's great, and it's not so hard. It's a practice of being steady with the attractions, aversions, likes and dislikes, the pleasant, the unpleasant, and the in-between Vedana. Is there someone at the back who wants to speak? Yes. Yes, I thought someone might. Yes. 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 And when you saw what was happening? Yes, the drama starts to subside. It becomes lower. Once a participant on retreat said, "Radha, I was having a fantastic retreat. I was really enjoying myself. Then you said the word father. My entire retreat was ruined, and it's your fault. Why did you say that?" So, the word father or mother, of course, can be rather potent. And we can have all of these associations and memories and complex responses, because there's love and kindness, but there can also be other kinds of difficulties. This is the past impacting on the present. Yet if we can just pause and be steady with it, meet it. Just as you said, "I'm going to stay with this." When we're just steady, we stay with it. What happens is the feelings cease, the thoughts cease. They come to an end. Every thought we've ever had has ended. Every feeling we've ever felt has ended. Every emotion we've ever felt has subsided. And in that ending, just there, as something ends, there's a spaciousness and the possibility of the emotions that are complex subsiding. And then with that, the problem fades as well. Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you for that example. So let's go on now to the next foundation of mindfulness. We'll begin it today. We won't get all the way through it. So this is the third foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of mental formations. Or mindfulness of the citta. C-I-T-T-A in Pali. And it means heart, mind. It doesn't mean just head. It means heart as well. Heart, mind is non-dual. It's actually not separate. So The best way for me to explain citta is it's the way we meet the world. It's the way we meet the world with our thoughts, ideas, views, opinions. It's also the way we meet the world with our love and friendliness and care and our emotions. So the citta involves all of that. So the first exercise in this sutta is simply to experience the heart-mind. So what we're doing is we're simply checking in with what's the state of my heart-mind today? How am I? So we just check. And we know how we are because we can be aware of all that arises. Sometimes we're aware of the mind really wanting. We want to be other than we are. We want to be different. Or we want a particular thing, a person, an object. Or we want something different to eat or drink. So we might be today caught up in wanting or not. We may be caught up in negativity. We might be being critical today. Critical of ourselves. We might be feeling impatient, intolerant, frustrated, cranky. We might be caught up in some kind of ill will. We might also be caught in delusion, in rather circular thinking. We might be having one thought and another thought about that, and another thought about that, until the thoughts are simply looping in a circle. We're not seeing clearly things. We're caught in the process of thought itself. Sometimes the mind is rather elevated. Sometimes it's clear. Sometimes it's cloudy. Sometimes the mind is dull. Sometimes we feel very free and light. At other times we feel the mind is heavy and burdensome. Sometimes we feel caught up at every turn. And at other times we feel rather free. These are the dualities of mind. And we know all this is happening because we can be aware of it. So we are using our capacity to be aware to reveal to us the mind state or the habits of mind that are occurring today. The mind, of course, also roams through the field of time. We go to the future and project, fantasize, imagine. We go to the past and we regret and we feel guilty. We wish we hadn't done certain things. Or there might be a residue from the past about a relationship. Or an event that's happened in life. And this can all too often just overlay the present, the actuality of what's happening. We can also be caught in the present moment, when we cling and when we grasp. So we have to understand that the mind roams through the fields of time. Sometimes we comment, evaluate, analyze. So we can see all of this happening. We see it happening because of the knowing capacity of mind, our capacity to be aware. The knowing shines the light on to what's happening. And in our practice, we're asked to rest in that knowing capacity of the mind, that deep knowing, and see what's revealed without being caught up in the object that's revealed. And by that I mean, of course, the sensation, the thought, the idea, the memory, the projection into the future. Mind, of course, can also have that wonderful sense of being vast and open and immeasurable. So if in your sittings you're just sitting there and you get a sense of the immeasurable nature of things, or that which is unending, you can just be with that, explore, rest into it. So let's come back to the first instruction in this section. It goes like this: breathing in, experiencing the heart mind, breathing out, experiencing the heart mind, the citta. So what did you discover about the condition of the heart, mind, the citta today? Anybody? Anybody prepared to share what's going on? Yes. Lots. Yes. 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 Okay. So, a rather busy mind today. A mind that's looking at the sensations in the body, being uncomfortable physically. Can help you a little bit with posture later. And then the mind separates from that, goes to imagination, fantasy, planning. Oh, it's much more fun to plan than to feel the pain in the knees, isn't it? So this is what we do. We divide off and we rush to the future, go to a field of time. Yet there's a knowing of all of that. You knew it. You were aware of what was going on because you're able to report it. Okay, anybody else? Yes. 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 Okay. The thought, I can't feel it, is the mental formation. Got that? Yes. So the I lands in the world of thought and says, I can't feel my heart. Yet in the beginning you said, just the idea of heart and mind not being separate gave you a sense of samadhi, more unification of the whole being. This is the crucial, critical point. Because when we no longer divide our feeling world from our thoughts, where we actually start to see the relationship between the two and feel in a more holistic way, we have the experience of the unification of the heart-mind. The mind that's gathered instead of the mind that's fractured and all over the place. So, samadhi or focus means the mind that is composed, the mind that's unified, the mind that's gathered. And we can have a little experience of that and go, oh, wow, that's a different way of seeing. And then immediately we start to analyze, and then the I lands in the very familiar world of thought and says, I can't feel my heart. I can't do this, or something similar. So we need to see this whole process, be rather patient with ourselves, and rest more into the awareness itself. Awareness that reveals what's going on. It's quite a subtle practice to do that. Yet it's really transforming. So when we stop identifying with the thoughts as mine, thoughts that we make the thoughts personal when we say, I think, or I have this opinion or this view, I can't feel with my heart, there's nothing there, and so on. So this is the grasping of the thought and giving it a reality that it actually doesn't have. Thoughts are invisible. They are empty of any kind of substance. They pop into consciousness based on previous conditions. And we have 70,000 or so a day. I don't know who counted them. But this is what's said, 70,000 thoughts a day, and most of them are not original. We've had them before. Yet we place incredible emphasis on what we're thinking. Occasionally in life we have a creative thought, a thought that's fresh, a thought that's new, but most of them are the same old thing. Most of them are just looping. And most of them are about ourselves. And so this tendency to think about ourselves as this, as if we're the center of things, is something that we need to let go of. It's an assumption. I am the center of life is an assumption. It's a felt sense. I understand that. But there is another way of being. There's another way. Yes. So we don't, we just assume certain things. We make assumptions without really investigating and looking. The clue here was in the first part of the experience, the immediacy of the sense of the non-dual. Stay there. Yes, anybody else? Yes. 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 Because the I, yeah. Yes. Yes, I understand. As we do this, we're still breathing in and out. But the instruction is, it's an initial instruction. We go deeper here. But it's just to check out the mind state. It's to be aware of the condition of the mind today. We don't have to do anything about it. We're rather accustomed to doing. The sense of self gets wrapped around, I am the doer. And often, if we've got something to do, we're contented. We think we're getting somewhere when we're doing. Even in meditation practice. So sometimes our task is to let go of doing anything and just be with what we're experiencing directly. That's all. So you were, you saw your liking for doing. And then what happened? You thought, I don't like this instruction, or... Okay. You tried to work it out. Yes. And isn't this what the mind does? We try and work things out. And yet, meditation is just, we just come from a different perspective. So not trying to work it out with the mind, actually, because sometimes the more we think about things, the more we reach the limit of thought. And our heart-mind has a capacity that goes beyond thought. When we're really aware, we're aware of that which reveals the unconstructed, or that which is not put together by thought. That which is not caught up in doing, but rather we're intimate with, we're being with our direct experience. Thank you. Yes. 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 Okay. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the state of your mind today is irritated, frustrated. This is all I asked you to do. Check out the state of your mind today. Well seen. Okay. So we have to see it, but if we can see it without too much of the I, am frustrated, but see, oh, frustration. So sometimes just labeling, oh, frustration, discomfort, rather than I am frustrated, I can't stand this meditation, and I don't know how I'm going to sit here for the next 45 minutes, and the whole drama, if we can just label it, my mind is irritated, frustrated. Then we're taking the personal out of it. We're just seeing it for what it is. That's all. We don't need to add the self to it. That's the tricky bit, really. Just seeing it for what it is. We are, as human beings, part of organic life, part of the totality of things. Yet we tend to see what we think as ours. We make a claim over our thoughts. We possess them. We possess the frustration and claim it to be ours. Yet it's a phenomena arising along with everything else in this infinite universe. So when we see in this way, we take the edge of the frustration diminishes a little bit. It becomes not so problematic. But there's frustration. There's irritation. And we have the clear seeing. Fantastic. Good example. If we stay with it for a little longer, because frustration is impermanent, it will cease. It will change. It will shift. Anyone else? Yes. 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 Okay. Beautiful. Okay. So the heart and mind were dancing together in harmony. And there was joy. So much joy. We can have this exquisitely beautiful experience sometimes where there is a feeling of great harmony, great freedom. There's the energy of the dance. We want to dance. Now, if you were listening to that and that was not your experience today, just watch the tendency of mind to compare. Judge, to say, oh, she felt wonderful feelings and I didn't. This is what we do, isn't it? We do this sometimes. The fact that one person in the room can feel harmony, the harmony of heart and mind, means actually that it's possible for all of us, for each of us, because we're not different. The movements of mind are the same. We all experience them. Everything that every person has said so far, I have experienced. I know it from my own direct experience, including this wonderful notion of harmony and joy and peace. Blessedly, we're not struggling all the time with the mind. There are breaks. There is beauty. There is this sense of freedom. And when we touch into that, it's really precious. And we need to let that experience inform life. If there's harmony now, what does that tell you about how to live? Yes. That there is freedom that's possible. And we need to turn towards those moments of freedom, no matter how small they are, no matter how tiny they are. So rather than skip over them, rather than say, oh, well, that was only because I was in a meditation retreat that happened. But we need to say, oh, I can come to harmony. I can know a lightness of being. And we come back to that. We remember that. We rest into it. Let's do the next in this section on mindfulness of mind states. And this next instruction is a rather beautiful one. It's gladdening the heart mind. And this is the instruction that was made so famous by the Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, where he said, sit with a half smile. So sometimes, just as we come to sit, it can be very useful to gladden the heart mind. And if we have trouble feeling gladness, does everybody understand the word gladness? Yes? Good. If we have trouble feeling glad, we can just begin with a little gratitude, because gratitude and gladness and joy are rather close together. So if we struggle to feel gladness, we just start with appreciation. With gratitude, we might think a couple of things that we're grateful for, and then we can just sit, gladdening the heart mind. So as we breathe in and as we breathe out, we're deliberately gladdening the heart mind. Breathing in, gladdening the heart mind. Breathing out, gladdening the heart mind. Did anybody have a direct experience of gladness? No. Yes. Glimpses. Yes, we're talking about glimpses here. That's fine. Yes. Yes. Ah. Yes. So even amid the irritated mind, you've discovered with the intention there can be a glimpse of gladness. And when the gladness comes, what happens to the irritation? Yeah, quietens a bit, shifts. Beautiful. So this is a way of shifting the difficult mind state of irritation. Yes. Okay. So she said when she saw the heart mind, there was no I in it. There was just the seeing of it. And then there was calm. Lovely. When the sense of self ceases, we rest into, or when the sense of self is not so strong in the forefront of consciousness, when it dissolves a little bit, when it's deconstructed, when we're no longer looking from the self-centered perspective, we can see rather more easily a sense of calm. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Ah, yes. 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 Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yes. So you felt the joy, and then of course your heart went to your beloved daughter, and of course, as a mother, we want that. So the I wraps itself around the role of mother. And we think about the daughter or the son. And then we want that for the daughter. And then, of course, there's all the thoughts. Why isn't she here? Why doesn't she follow the path? And so on. It would be really good for her. We can all sit here and think all week about all the people meditation would be good for. We have to be a bit careful when we leave that we don't go home and tell everybody, this would be really good for you. Instead, we need to show them our freedom of heart. We need to show them the joy. And then they'll say, oh, could be something in this meditation. Okay, anyone else? An experience of gladness. I'll take someone else, yeah? Yes. 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 So the non-doing, the just resting, it's a very subtle feeling of you set the intention and then you're aware and then we just wait. And sometimes the gladness just appears. It's extraordinary. As soon as we try to manipulate it or grab it or keep it, it's gone. One more here. Yes. 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 Oh, but gratitude and warm colors up and down, won't that do? Did that not make you feel glad? Okay, okay. Yeah, so, yes. Okay, so you thought you should be more excited than you are. Or there's something you were missing. Okay. I would say if you are feeling gratitude and then there's warmth that comes through the body, warm colors you described it as, that's a quality of gladness. I would say that. Sometimes we have different associations with particular words, and I appreciate that
from the English to the Hebrew can sometimes be a bit tricky. But we can feel content. We can feel a level of happiness. We can feel gladness. We can feel the unproblematic. And this is the key, really. When we gladden the mind, the problematic issues fade or they cease. And this is why it's such a powerful practice. Yes. Yes. Yes, you. Yes. 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 Okay. So there was the immediate thankfulness and the gladness, but quickly upon that came the fear of losing and the fear of being attached. So right there, a bit more steadiness is needed. Because if we live in fear the whole time, life becomes too intense. And so the way we work with fear is we see where the fear rests in the body. We check the sensation, the direct sensation in the body. Where in the body is it for you? When you feel fear? Yes, yes. So what we do is we take the attention to that area of the body and we take loving, gentle, kind, warm attention there. And then we start to see how the sensations shift and change, and we track the sensations gently, beautifully. We track them. And then we ask, is there a belief associated with this sensation in the body? And then we just wait. And sometimes it will become clear what the belief is. A fear of loss, for example. So then we start to see how the fear is constructed with our beliefs, with our ideas, with our imagination. And what we fear is usually something in the future that has not yet happened. So the way we work with fear and anxiety and difficulty and the strong emotions like grief or anger is we come to the sensation in the body, we track it as if it was something precious. We bring love to it, we bring care. And then we explore the unfolding process that occurs. And this is very important to learn. To just be with the inquiry into it, to ask, is there a belief that I'm holding? And often a memory will come, or something will come to you, or it will become totally clear. The kinds of one-line beliefs that we have are things like, I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable, I'm not good enough. No one understands me, I don't have what I want in life, and so on. These are the little one-line beliefs that can color consciousness. And so we need to understand ourselves and start to see this movement of mind. So this is the way we work with the heart-mind. Today we've just touched on, first of all, experiencing what's going on, and then gladdening the heart-mind. Tomorrow we'll come to concentrating the heart-mind, as in discovering the sense of the unification of heart and mind. And also liberating or freeing the heart-mind, which is my favorite instruction of all. So it's just sitting in the freedom itself, not sitting wanting something else, not sitting in search of freedom, but simply sitting with freedom. We will come to that tomorrow. So thank you for your contributions. Thank you for listening, and most of all, thank you for your dedication to the practice.